SS General by Sven Hassel. Narrated by Sam Devereaux. Chapter 1. Germany has had the good fortune to find a leader capable of bringing together the forces of the entire country to work as a collective body for the common prosperity. Daily Mail, London, 10th of October 1933. Sunday, 30th of June 1934, was one of the hottest days Berlin had ever known, but it has gone down in history as one of the bloodiest. Long before sunrise on that day, the city had been surrounded by an unbroken cordon of troops. All roads leading in and out were closed, guarded by the men who served under General Goering and Reichsfuhrer SS Himmler. At 5 o'clock in the morning of 30th of June, a large black Mercedes with the inscription S.A. Brigadenstandarte on the windscreen was stopped on the road between Lübeck and Berlin. Its important occupant, a brigadier general, was ordered out at gunpoint and thrown into the back of a police wagon. The driver, S.A. Truppenführer Horst Ackermann, was bluntly advised to move himself, which he did at top speed. He regained Lübeck and made his report to the head of police, who at first refused to attach any credence whatsoever to the story. Upon the Truppenführer's insisting, the man could think of nothing more constructive to do than pick up the telephone and seek help and advice from his old friend, the head of the criminal police. Both of them had been members of the SA, the old guard of the National Socialist Assault Troops. But the previous year, along with all the other police officers in the Third Reich, they had been transferred to the SS.
"So, what do you think?"
There was an uneasy silence from the telephone. The head of police tried a new tack.
"Gruner, are you still there? It's hardly likely they'd dare lay hands on one of the SA's best-known officers, is it?"
Another silence.
"Is it?"
he repeated nervously. This time there was a cynical laugh from the other end of the line.
"You think not? In that case, I suggest you leave the telephone a moment and take a quick look through the window. You're behind the times, my friend. I've known this was coming for the past few months and more. All the signs were there for anyone who kept their ears and eyes open. Eicher's been far too active for far too long. Something had to break. Not only that, they cleared the camp at Borgmoor a while ago, and you're not trying to tell me they'd let a place like that stay empty for very long. Not on your life. It's been taken over by Eicher's SS boys, and they're already prepared for full-scale murder down there."
The Brigadier General Paul Hatzke found himself shut up in a cell at the former cadet training school of Gross Lichterfeld, now used as a barracks for Adolf Hitler's personal troops. He sat on a pile of bricks and calmly smoked a cigarette. His legs in their long black cavalry boots stretched out before him, his back against the wall. He was put out at his unceremonious treatment, but he saw no reason for fear for his personal safety. He was, after all, a brigadier general and commanded 50,000 troops of the SA. He was also an ex-captain of His Majesty the Emperor's own personal guards. He was far too big a man for anyone to touch. Outside the tranquility of his cell, the world seemed to be in temporary uproar. Men shouted, doors banged, footsteps thudded impatiently along passages and up and down staircases. The SS men who had arrested the Brigadier General had muttered something about a revolt.
"Nonsense, no such thing,"
Hatzke had retorted with angry contempt.
"Any talk of a revolt, and I should most certainly have had word of it. It's all a ridiculous mistake."
of course," they had murmured soothingly. "That's all it is. A ridiculous mistake." Hatzke tore open his fourth packet of cigarettes and raised his eyes to the small barred window high up on the wall. A revolt? Arrant nonsense. He smiled to himself. All other considerations apart, the SA didn't possess sufficient arms to attempt a revolt. On this point, at least, he was well briefed. On the other hand, as far as the 1933 revolution was concerned, it was only to be expected that the 2 million members of the SA should not be altogether satisfied with the treatment they had received. Not one of the pre-revolution promises made to them had been kept. Not even the most basic promise to find them work. Some, indeed, had been given positions in the police force.